Good morning. We have two readings today. The first is Psalm 107, and you'll find it on page 610. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The second reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it's just the last verses 16 to 18, and you'll find it on page 1188. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Will you pray with me before I begin, please? Heavenly Father, please, may the words that I speak this morning be your words from your heart to those who listen, and may your presence be with us as we learn together. Amen. We're doing a series on prayer. Now, I know a lot of Christians who will always try to avoid speaking about prayer, because prayer is in many ways a mysterious thing. The actual words we use are far less important than the thoughts and desires of our hearts. Where does the reality of our lives on the one hand and our pious wishes and intentions on the other hand meet in an honest balance in prayer before God? For some people, prayer is a natural conversation with God that goes on throughout the day. For others, it's a discipline of time set aside with full concentration given to God. And for yet others, it's more about surrender to God. Rowan Williams has described prayer as not something we do, but what we are letting God do in us. Now, that's all very challenging to an extrovert personality like mine, a personality that wants to do things and tick them off the list. So, given the difficulties of talking about prayer, I am so glad that I got this specific topic today of thanksgiving, because I find it slightly more tangible than many aspects of prayer. But first, I want to ask, when and why do we thank God for things? Do we thank God for the good things because we've received them, even if others haven't? Do we thank him only for the good things? Do we not bother to thank him? Because the world in which we live, you know, life, death, and the universe, and all that sort of thing, well, it is as it is. And there's nothing we can do about it anyway, very often. So where does the idea of thanks come in? Or do we thank him because that's what people do to those with whom they have a relationship? And our first reading from Psalm 107 was recounting the thanks given to God for his goodness towards his people, his provision and his rescue. But the psalm goes on, it was a bit too long to read it all today, but it goes on to describe people in various severe circumstances, prisoners, the sick and afflicted, those in peril on the sea. Now that's where we get the hymn from. It's all about real life, but lived in relationship with God. And secondly, how do we express our thanks to God in a meaningful way? Well, we thank God in our songs, as we do on a Sunday morning like today, and in the words we use with each other when we're speaking about God. We often are filled with thankfulness in our conversation. But I think the real way that we thank God is in the way we live out our lives. Someone has said that the glory of God is seen in a human life lived to the full. And I think that any prayers of thanksgiving that we ever express will only be really valid if they come from a life which is full of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. So let's look for a moment at thankfulness in the context of our relationship with God as our Father. I'm very aware these days of my relationship with my grandchildren. My children, being adults now, are a less obvious model of that child to the father relationship that we have with God. But my little grandchildren have somehow refreshed all of that for me. The older two especially, because the little one, she's only a little baby. My older grandchildren have been very well brought up, and when I arrive at their door, they squeal with exuberant delight at seeing me, even if they saw me the day before. They hug me and they kiss me, and they can't wait to tell me everything they've done and show me everything, every little toy they've been given, every drawing they've done, and they make me welcome. The last time I went, the little one actually said, "I'll take your coat for you, Grandma." And sometimes she says, "I'll go and find your slippers for you." It's a house where they take their shoes off, not like mine. And if I give them a little gift, however small, they thank me and say it's so lovely. And similar things happen when they come to my house. And then perhaps the greatest joy of all for me is that they sometimes cry when they have to go home. And all of this makes me glow in the joy of the relationship that I have with them. So the first and main thanks I receive is their joy at being with me. I think to a greater extent we show our thanks to God in the way we love life, taking it in both hands and living it fully with joy and with service and in partnership with Him, making Him a part of everything we do. And also it's in the way we share our lives and our things with other people. It's another measure of our gratitude to God. So in prayer, thanksgiving begins with an awareness of God's grace to us. You know, grace, you know what it is, that undeserved merit which God shows us and which we try to live out by being gracious to other people. All we have is gifted to us by our gracious God. We can't list everything individually every time we go to pray, but to approach God in prayer with a thankful attitude towards our lives is a basis for prayers of thanksgiving. Trying to remember the good things and say and feel and live my thanks, even if I'm a bit of a melancholic personality, as I am. Thanksgiving words in prayer are undergirded by our actions and our attitudes of thanks in our lives. We stop, don't we, for those moments of what today is dubbed mindfulness in thanks to God. It's what Christians have been doing all through the centuries, stopping, reflecting, and then responding to God. And this can be a hard thing to do, depending on what's happened to us recently. life doesn't go all smoothly. And the people referred to in the psalm that we heard the beginning of, they knew that, because it goes on to talk about homelessness and aggression and poverty and hunger and lack of education. And all these things are happening around us today and to some of us here. So these words of the psalm are not said glibly, but with all the experience of normal human life. But if we can practice having an open hand, not a clenched fist in life, it can help us to be thankful in prayer. And then in turn, thanksgiving in prayer leads us into more sharing and giving and open-handedness again. And then let's think for a moment about our specific thanksgiving prayers. What are they about after our awareness of our relationship with God as our loving Heavenly Father? Well, I think a primary feature for most of us here would be thanks for our family and our friends, the human relationships which ground us, which make us who we are, which give us love and affirmation and purpose. Then there are the other things which also matter, living as we do in a material world. Thanks for our homes, our place of shelter and belonging. And from that, thanks for a source of income which supports it. Many of us here may be considered wealthy. Some of us might be, or might in the past, have been unemployed at some time and will know the precarious nature of life in that situation. If so, we remember with thanks the social system in our country, which gives support to the unemployed, and also the individual people who may have helped us through certain times. And it may help us to pay our taxes with greater joy. You may have a job that gives you satisfaction and feeds your mind and your heart as well as your bank balance. Let's be thankful if we do, for so many people are not so fortunate. And there are thanks for the smaller things we possess, things that make our homes comfortable, our gardens beautiful, and for the means of transport we use and enjoy, and the hobbies and sports which enrich our lives. And don't forget our communities in which we live. Let us be thankful for the neighbours with whom we share it. Good neighbours are a true blessing, as anyone with bad neighbours will tell you. And our system of healthcare and of education, etc., etc., stretched as they are at present, many of us will have had cause to be so thankful for them. And then what about church, whichever or wherever it may be for each of one of you who's here today? If ever you have been in a tiny church or an underground church in a country that doesn't give freedom to its citizens, then the open access to a church like this will be so highly valued. I know we're not perfect. Sorry, I'll rephrase that. I know we're a bunch of damaged sinners trying to make sense of life and faith together. But there is so much love and care and welcome here. So what different ways can we use to thank God in prayer? Well, first, obviously in our personal prayers, we thank him. Secondly, we might do it in family prayers, if that's your habit. And then there's the prayer that we share in our house groups and other small groups. And one of the most important times we pray and thank God is in public worship. This is so important. Praying together has a different dynamic from praying alone. We support each other. We hear other voices. We join together as one body with a louder voice. And of course, it's not just in the, quote, prayer slot of a service, but the hymns and songs also are an opportunity for thanksgiving. In our exuberant moments, we might like to dance our thanks to God, but perhaps that might be better done privately. But when we publicly take up our monetary offering, as we did a few moments ago, that's another way of thanking God for what he's put under our care as we return some of it to him for his specific work within the church. But, here's my but for the day. I've always got a but, haven't I? Because everything has a but, a different point of view, a different aspect. There are times when life is very painful. The Bible says we should give thanks in all circumstances. It does not say because of all circumstances. No one goes through life without some pain and deep sorrow or fear. And I do not believe they are sent by God. And we don't have to thank him for them. But he asks us to be thankful people despite them. And it's all because of our relationship with him. That's what is at the heart of our faith. Faith means trust. Faith is not a list of unbelievable ideas that we're being asked to believe. Because of Jesus, we now know God as Father. And like any child going through times of fear and pain, what we need is to feel our Father's presence with us when the fear and the pain aren't going away. Thanksgiving helps us to keep hanging on in there, in that trusting relationship, even through the worst things that life can throw at us. Just thanking God that he's there, loves us and won't abandon us. At present, you know, we're going through a period of multiple crises all at once. We wake up to depressing news every morning. I don't know how it affects you. It makes me feel very miserable sometimes. And we could easily slip into total negativity of thinking. Our national politics and how we're trying to heal a divided nation. The critical state of our health service before the current problems and our police services. The wars and their subsequent consequences in the Middle East. And now the viral attack, the tiniest organism causing such a worldwide fear and response. What is the world coming to? Well, it's coming to God's climax when he chooses to do so. But until then, we continue in trust and love and service and lots of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the momentous things that have framed our lives and for the small everyday blessings that we receive. And lastly, are there ever times when thanksgiving presents a problem? I think sometimes the way people thank God for things may be totally insensitive. I've heard people thanking God and making such a celebration out of his goodness to them when they've avoided being on the aeroplane that later crashed. Isn't this insensitive to the relatives of those who were not rescued from that situation? Thanksgiving must not be a wallowing in what we have in our riches, but must be offered with genuine thanksgiving to God and even a willingness to part with some of what he's given us, if that is what he's asking. God is not our personal fixer. We are his servants. We live in a broken world at the mercy of so many things that we don't wish to encounter, but we aim to serve God and live to the full in his service, to enjoy life and be people who have an understanding of God's grace and respond with thankful hearts. It's not about getting always just what we want, but it is a recipe for honoring our God. Would you pray with me as I close, please? Dear loving Heavenly Father, very often we can't find the right words to thank you sufficiently. And sometimes we're in too bad a place to feel gratitude. Please help us in these times to just rest in your presence. And then when life becomes clearer and our hearts are warmed again, may we never forget your grace and love. And may we give ourselves back to you in thanks and in loving service. And we ask this and do this for Jesus' sake. Amen.